Okay, so let's start with a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your love for each and every one of us. Help us all to get to know you better through this passage today. And Lord, if there's anything that I have prepared that is of the flesh and not of you, I just pray that it will disperse. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, imagine the scene. Jesus has just celebrated the Passover with his disciples. Judas Iscariot has just left to go and betray Jesus. And so he is left with the 11. And he knows that tomorrow he will be going to the cross. But before he leaves the room, before he goes off to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays. He simply prays. And very often in the Gospels, we read about the prayer life of Jesus, but on rare occasions do we actually see what he prayed. And in this whole passage, the whole passage of John 17 is all about praying. The first part is he's praying for himself. The middle passage of the passage is that he's praying for his disciples. And the passage that we're looking at today is when he is praying for the believers who will believe. And that's us, of course, within the church, you and me. And knowing that Jesus prayed for us can give us great confidence as we work for his kingdom. And it says in one of the epistles, which I forgot to look up, that he intercedes for us. How reassuring is that? And I've got 3 points. I'll do our 3-point sermon today. So my first point is that, first of all, to have unity, and he speaks in this passage about unity within the church. We need to have unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit through the Spirit. The unity with the Trinity. And if you don't feel you have that unity, sometimes we feel a bit disconnected, don't we? Ask God daily for an infilling of his Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised, in fact, I was reading this earlier, that the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus out of the tomb. And that is the Spirit that's in us. And it's just so powerful, isn't it? And in verse 17, a little bit before this passage, it said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The word being the word of God, the Bible. To have that daily intimacy with God through prayer, through reading and meditating on the word of God, and waiting for him, waiting for an answer. Ask him questions. Pour out your heart to him and wait for an answer. It's always important to do that. Otherwise, it's a bit like going to the GP and saying, I've got a headache, I've got a gammy leg, I've got a stomach ache, I've got this, right, I'm going now. You know, and so it's really important to wait for an answer and to have a conversation with God. When we take time to be still in his presence and open our hearts to him, he climbs in. And something that I forgot to mention, and if you're not quite sure what that's like, or you find that you're a little bit sort of disconnected at the moment, do come along to our quiet morning on the 14th of June. It's a Saturday morning between 10 and 1. You don't have to stay for the whole morning. And if it's your first time, it's really good to come at 10 o'clock so you know what's happening, because there's a lot of silence. And so if you walk in and it's all silent, it's a bit weird. But anyway, but I'll explain what's happening. It's called Meeting the Messiah, this one. And I'm so excited about it. I found some amazing passages. And I'm hoping and praying that through this morning that all of us, including me, will meet with the Messiah in a new way. And you don't have to stay for the whole morning. And there's things like creative space where you can do arts and crafts, because some people find it difficult to sit still. and some people make the most amazing things. And there's a prayer path here, interactive, but you don't have to be interactive, you just read the notes. And there's like reflective spaces. And I read a couple of passages over you, and just let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And he just works so profoundly in some people's lives. We had a couple of healings last time, which was so exciting. Anyway, so do come along. Even if, just give it a go, and if it's not your thing, you can just leave. That's absolutely fine. But it'll be good to see you. And and as Christians, isn't that what we hunger for, to be in his presence? And we were singing, better is one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere. In Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And it goes on to say, better is one day in your courts, in the courts of the Lord, than a thousand elsewhere. And if you've experienced that, it's the most wonderful place to be. Point two, my second point, is unity with others. And within the church, you know, the church, I'm not just talking about this church, but the worldwide church, we get things so wrong sometimes, don't we? And it's okay to agree to disagree. Last time I talked about the occult, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, I didn't agree with some of the stuff you said. And I said, that's absolutely fine. Let's sit down and talk about it. And we talked about it, and unfortunately I forgot to pray with her, but anyway, but we just gave each other a big hug, and let's agree to disagree with things that, you know, we're not quite sure about. You know, we're fallible, we all get things wrong, and sometimes we don't know the answer to these things this side of heaven. And so, you know, and just have that unity within the spirit. Oh, I'm leaving, losing my place. And for me, regarding the church, I love all the denominations as long as the spirit is there. I love the bells and the smells and the drama of all of that. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't want it every week. And the same as I love the charismatic church, where it's all punchy and powerful, all that. That's wonderful. I wouldn't want that every week. I'm sort of somewhere in the middle and verging a little bit on the evangelical side. But, you know, to see that unity within the church is wonderful. But it's really good to be flexible, and I'll pick up on that in a minute. And the Holy Spirit gives us a new heart, as in the passage that Ian read in Ezekiel, a heart of flesh and not of stone. And it's really important that we have love for within our benefice, for, you know, the way they... I was at Wellborn this morning, very different. You know, sung liturgy, I absolutely loved it. And great, and here is obviously very different, but the Lord is there, and as long as the Spirit is there, that is good. And it's and especially with different denominations, you know, you hear people criticising the way people worship. I just really don't think that's helpful. And very early on in my Christian walk, the little market town that I lived in, I became a Christian at the Anglican church there, and the children's work at the local... it was more of a charismatic church, was great. So we used to get to the end of the service and run down the road with the kids and say, let's, you know, and they had great fun down there. But the leader of this church, every preacher I went to, he seemed to mimic and mock the Anglican church, and I lost respect for this man very quickly. It was a very vibrant, growing church, and do you know what? God took his hand off that church quite soon. And I just think, you know, it's not right, is it? And for us, a leader, to stand up and mock the way other people worship, because we're all different. And if all our churches look the same, it would be quite boring, I think. You know, I think that there's a real... it's a bit like, you know, we all like different supermarkets or films or restaurants and things like that. It's actually really important that we find what suits us, and not to criticise. The moment a political party become disunited, it loses popularity, and we see it in the world and more so in the church. And the followers of Jesus are not supposed to be miserable and criticise each other. It's not good witness, is it? So avoid gossip, work together in humility, give your time, money and resources to exalt Christ and refuse to get sidetracked arguing about divisive matters. Jesus prayed for unity among believers based on the believers' unity with him and our Heavenly Father. Christians can know unity among themselves if they are living in new union with God. They have that connection with God. And it's a bit like in John 15, just a couple of passages, chapters before, about being in the vine. And, I was thinking about if you see, sometimes you go around and see these lovely oak trees and the branch has fallen off and it soon withers and dies, doesn't it? And it's really important for us to be connected with the vine, with Jesus. Jesus' great desire for his disciples was that they would become one in him. He wanted them unified as a powerful witness to the reality of God's love. And the church I used to belong to in Hampshire, we had a particularly good leader who was really invested in churches together. And we did a lot of missional stuff outside, in the park. We had a great park where we sort of laid on just events for the community, and we used to get thousands come. It was great. But it wasn't just us. It was the Catholic Church, and it was the Baptists, and the Free Church, and another church, I can't remember who it was. But anyway, we all clubbed together, and we all worked together, and it was just amazing. And people used to walk into all the churches off the street, say, we just love what you do in the community, so we want to be part of that. And now they have a community cafe running in that village. Well, it's not a village, it's like suburban now, isn't there so much building? And that's churches together as well. And it's so beautiful to see churches come together. And I don't know how much I've got. Okay. I just want to, and also, as I've travelled quite a lot over the years, and we had the huge privilege of spending some years in living in India, in Delhi, for 4.5 years. And I got quite involved with sort of Christian work there. And a charity that I'm still involved in, actually, a pastor and his wife that do some absolutely amazing stuff. They said, right, we're going to take you to a Christian slum. I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting, because the slums, I'd been through the slums and they're absolutely dire. And, we went to this slum, and we were met with people that were full of the joy that I had never seen before. They had nothing in worldly, but they had everything in Christ. And even though we were worlds apart, culturally, socially, linguistically, and all the rest of it, we had that unity in Christ. And they were this. I have to talk about this slum. It was just so amazing. It was they had this courtyard, and all around the courtyard were these houses. And this dear lady, mother of four, I think she was, said, "Oh, come into my house." And I thought, "Oh, this is going to be interesting," because of course the custom is you take your shoes off. And I don't know if you realise that your feet are very sensitive to what's underneath. I don't know if. And I was thinking, well, what is this going to be like? But actually, I could feel, without looking, that it was absolutely spotless, this slum house. And they had their bed, they had a television, always a television, a few pots and pans, and that was it. And yet, so what they did every morning, these Christians that lived in these slums, they got together and they praised and worshipped God first thing in the morning. And they used to do outreach into a slum down the road where it was not Christian. It was a very different atmosphere there. And they took me there as well. And it was absolutely dire, some of the things. Whew, you could see there, such brokenness and spiritual poverty, and just, yeah, It was hard to see. And these people that were united in Christ used to go in and serve these people. And I said, I'm not doing this, but if I had $1 million and gave it to you, would you move to a different place? And they said, no. How could we reach these people in the slums if we lived in some fancy house? They said, we've been called to this. And so they could have worked their way up, perhaps, I don't know, but that's what they were called to do. It was amazing. Anyway, I'm going a bit off-piste here about unity. But they're having that joy, and they had that joy with the Lord. They had that joy of working together. And we could, you know, cross-linguistically, we couldn't understand each other, but they had a joy that I don't think I've ever noticed in anybody else. It was just amazing. So anyway, and of course it was through the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to read you a passage in Colossians 3, verse 12 onwards. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Since I needed to share that. And my third and final point is slightly off piece, but not particularly. Before Jesus departs to go to Gethsemane, he prays. He simply prays. And very often, when I meet with friends or a pastoral visit or something like that, I do try to remember, and I often forget, but I do try to remember to pray beforehand. It's so lovely, isn't it, when you're sharing with friends, and before you depart, say, let's pray about what we've spoken about. And it's very powerful. And I don't always remember, and sometimes if it's a pastoral visit, it's not always appropriate to pray because of boundaries or safeguarding or something like that, but you could always say, I will pray for you. So that's a thing. So in verse 13, just before this passage that Ian read, Jesus prays that we may have full measure of his joy within us. Joy comes from unity. Disunity is a joy stealer. Unity is powerful. So let us be united with Christ so that we can be united with others in our within the church, within our benefice, and with others out in the community. So let us pray. This prayer is an adaptation of verse 20. We pray that all of us may be one, just as God is in Jesus and Jesus in God. Jesus in us and God in Jesus, so we may be brought to complete unity through the Holy Spirit. So this morning we pray that you will fill us afresh, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, with your Holy Spirit. Let's just wait on the Lord a moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's wait on him. Come, Holy Spirit, less of us, more of you, Lord. Anoint us, refine us, cleanse us, fill us to overflowing, so we may be fueled up to reach out to the lost, the hurting, the wretched, the blind, and to shine your light into their darkness. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in the mighty and everlasting name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.